Galatians chapter 3. The topic of our study this morning in Sunday school is blessed with faithful Abraham. That comes from verse 9. So then they which be of faith are, watch it, blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, at one time I was thinking of actually doing the whole chapter, but after I got through the first 14 verses, I realized that there was way more than we could cover in one Sunday school lesson. So let's read the first 14 verses carefully. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll study. Now remember, Paul has gone to Galatia. He has preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that you know, the one by which you and I were saved. He left and somebody came in behind him and perverted that gospel by telling those folks they had to keep the law in order to be saved, and told them as one aspect of that, those Gentiles had to be circumcised in order to be saved. If they didn't do that, they couldn't be saved. And so basically what happened, they perverted the gospel so much that it became a works salvation as opposed to salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And he has gone back there to clean up the mess. And so in Galatians chapter 3, he really begins to nail down the simplicity of salvation in Jesus Christ. And he relates it back, because these guys had been exposed to some of that Jewish doctrine, he relates it back to Abraham, who is the father of the Jews, and brings it forward from there. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, there's your text for this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll ask the Lord to guide us through this study so we can learn what Paul was saying. Doyle, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things these people that had perverted the gospel had done by taking these Galatians back under the law, to put them under the bondage of the law, is that they prided themselves in this one aspect. If you really want to be saved, if you really want to get in the promises, you have got to be related. You've got to be a descendant of, you've got to come forth from Abraham. You got to come forth from Abraham. In order to be able to do that, you're going to have to get in the law, be circumcised. And then you'll get all those blessings that God promised to Abraham. Turn with me to John chapter 8 in verse 39, and notice when Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees about things like, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, John chapter 8. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, John chapter 8. They rejected what he said, and in verse 39, here was their answer. John chapter 8, verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So you see how that, those Jews were priding themselves, oh no, said, we're Abraham's children. So that's the kind of guilt trip they were putting on the Galatians. Yay, man, you gotta get back under this law and get in on all that stuff that's written in the Old Testament there and be a descendant of Abraham. Look in Matthew chapter 3 when John the Baptist came baptizing, and he came baptizing to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. When he came and was baptizing, the Pharisees showed up. And they were curious about what was going on with all this. And John knew immediately what to say to them. He says in verse 7, Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. That's not really a good way to try to get along with folks. I'll build you a big John the Baptist church by calling the religious leaders a bunch of snakes. Generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and watch it. He jumped right in there. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. All right, so you can tell by the way Paul is working here and writing here in Galatians chapter 3. He has to somehow counter what these guys have been teaching and yet relate it to Abraham. And he does a masterful job of it. To counter this perversion, Paul showed the Galatians that it is by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law that Gentiles and Jews are blessed with faithful Abraham. After the coming of Christ, a person who is in Christ Jesus is Abraham's seed. Look at the end of the chapter. Look at verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. In other words, no distinction. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither blood, bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one, watch it, in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, verse 29, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So he says, if you're justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, you are Abraham's seed, and therefore you are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let me remind you of something he said to them already in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Let's refresh ourselves. He has really nailed hard on the truth of the gospel. That was our lesson last time, the truth of the gospel. And he said in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 2, verse 15 for the context, we who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So he's already covered that with him. Now he's coming in here and he's going to deal with this blessed with faithful Abraham topic. When God in Galatians chapter 3 verse 8 promised Abraham, the last part of verse 8, he said, when he promised Abraham, in thee shall all nations be blessed. He testified, listen, in thee shall all, what's the next word? Singular or plural? plural, all nations be blessed. He testified, you know what? He testified that not only would Jews, but also Gentiles would be included in the promises made to Abraham. Look at Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises, plural, made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. All right, so when he says, in thee shall all nations be blessed, he's showing them at that time, all the way back in Genesis, that Gentiles were going to be included in some of these promises to Abraham. So what are those? What are those promises that we are included in? That's what we're going to look at this morning. By faith, we are blessed with, first of all, the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. Look with me again in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learn of you. Watch it. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham, as that in thee shall all nations be blessed, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's the first thing he's talking about. The promise of the Spirit. All right, and that is received through faith. You see, in the Old Testament, Abraham received, listen, imputed righteousness by faith. In Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see that? All right, what happened is, and we're going to look at this, God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, your seed is going to be as the stars of heaven. He doesn't even have a child. And he's old, like some of y'all. Childbearing was like something that was long not since in their minds, him, he, and Sarah. And the Lord said, you look up there and count, tell the stars, like a teller, count the stars. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them, so shall thy seed be for multitude. Sounds good to me. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God imputed righteousness to him. In other words, Abraham didn't do anything to earn that righteousness. He just, by faith, believed what God said, and God counted it for righteousness to him. By faith. All right. In the same way that Abraham received that imputed righteousness by faith, even so we, that's you and me, receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In other words, just like he put his faith in what God said, we put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, in Galatians 3:1, the promise of the Spirit necessitated, and get this is real important, the promise of the Spirit necessitated the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that, there was not going to be any promise of the Spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And look at verse 7. All right, in John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, see it? Jesus is speaking. I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So it was absolutely necessary that Jesus Christ die, be buried, rise from the dead, and ascend, then the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, would come And he came. There are those Jews in Acts chapter 2, and there he is. He comes. You know, that's not something that went on in the Old Testament like that. Because as Jesus Christ said, I got to go away for him to come, for that promise to be received by you. And that's something that Paul preached very plainly, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, the promise of the Spirit is not something that could have been given to Abraham at the time that he received his imputed righteousness, but was something that was given to his seed through Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? In other words, he says, in thee all nations shall be blessed. And one of the blessings is the promise of the Spirit. But that's not something that Abraham can get because Jesus Christ hadn't died, been buried, and risen, and ascended into heaven yet. But he said, I'm going to give that to you and to your seed. And so when Jesus Christ comes, you and I, who are now the offspring of Abraham, get the promise of the Spirit. And that's what Paul is saying here. Look in verse 2, Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. In verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He preached the gospel so clearly, it was as if they had seen the crucifixion for themselves. Has the gospel not been preached to you so clearly that it's as if you had seen it yourself? Now, I'm going to tell you something. The disciples were there, and they saw the crucifixion and didn't understand it. You and I weren't there, and yet by faith, what we believe about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is more real to us than it was to them who were eyewitnesses of the very event. Because by it, our faith in it has saved our souls. Faith is, in fact, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I couldn't believe the crucifixion more if I'd seen it for myself. It's been preached so clearly by Paul. In verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, nobody by the works of the law in the Old Testament had received the promise of the Spirit. Even the disciples who were with the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't at that time. However, by the hearing of faith, they received the promise of the Spirit. That's how you did, that's how I did, and that's how these Galatians did. So Paul wants to make sure they understand the Spirit is received by the hearing of faith and not by the works of the law. I'll give you an example. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. I'll give you an example. Acts chapter 10. All right, in Acts chapter 10, you're reading about Cornelius. And Cornelius has gathered up some kinsmen at his house. He, according to the leadership of the angel there that appeared to him, has called for Paul. Peter has come to Cornelius' house. Cornelius is a Gentile. Peter would not have gone except the Lord tempted him to eat some unclean meat. And Peter said, I've never had anything unclean. I know I fell in the water and I know I denied Jesus Christ, but I've never had anything unclean. You see how that religion does that to you? And he says, he did it three times, and three Gentiles showed up, and he said, now listen, go with those guys. So he goes over there to Cornelius' house, and he realizes that God wants him to preach the gospel to him. Now, at this point, Peter understands that what they saw in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and that baptism in the water and all that stuff that they did there in Acts 2:38 is he sees all that as the principal requirement for them to be saved and to have the Spirit of God. But watch what happens. He's preaching. I'm going to pick it up at verse 40 with you. Acts chapter 10, verse 40. He's preaching Jesus Christ, and now he's preaching the resurrection. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And he's going to go on preaching, and right in the middle of his sermon, bang! Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. You know what? They received the promise of the Spirit. by faith in Jesus Christ. He says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. There's the Holy Spirit. And Peter is a first-hand eyewitness that it didn't take any work on the part of Cornelius to get the Spirit of God, simply faith in Jesus Christ. Bang. And receive the promise of the Spirit. By hearing of faith. That's what he says in verse 2. This only what I learned of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the Lord, by the hearing of faith. When they heard and believed, they received the Spirit of God. In verse 3 of Galatians chapter 3, after receiving the promise of the Spirit, a man cannot be perfected by the flesh. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Is there anybody here today that is willing to stand up in front of all the rest of these people who know better than know and tell us that you are now better because you have taught your flesh to behave? You know, the flesh is the same wicked flesh it was the day you got saved today. The only difference is you are now yielding to the presence of the Spirit of God in you, so the flesh cannot act up like it did before. You stay out of church for a month and quit reading your Bible and quit praying and come back and let's have a conversation and see how you and that flesh are doing these days. It won't even take a month. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The only thing that'll help this flesh is death. We have an execution squad between Sunday school and church. If you want to go ahead and get it over with, we'll... Galatians chapter 5, verse 70, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are the contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Listen, you cannot put this flesh in a cage and make it behave. And that's what the law is. It's bondage. And he said, that's not going to do anything for you. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Well, that's ludicrous. Of course not. It can't be possible. Galatians chapter 3, verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? After receiving the promise of the Spirit, you know what you do? You suffer reproach from religious people who believe that you've got to do something in order to be saved. And they had suffered that reproach. They come out like that, they go, woohoo, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, and there's absolutely... And they say, well, I know you. You were the wicked guy. You're the guy that stole from my grocery store last month. And now you tell me you're going to go to heaven and I'm not. And I'm the guy that goes to the synagogue every week. Get out of here. Who do you think you are? You're crazy. You're foolish. See, they start. You can't shop here anymore. go buy your bacon somewhere else. I don't sell bacon. And now, you know, they start suffering that reproach for the simplicity of salvation in Jesus Christ. How many of you came out of something like a very strong religious background and went back to your family after you got saved and like, whoa, man, I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven now. And you tell them and they're like, you? We ought to have a mock funeral and get you out of here. Anybody ever? Yeah, I did. And when I professed salvation in Jesus Christ, my father cried for a week, literally, and said, I've lost my son. I've lost my son, but scared me to death. I was just 19 years old. I didn't know what to do with that. And you know what he's saying? Some of you suffered. He says, but then he says, have you suffered so many things in vain? Having taken that on the chin for the Spirit of God, and now go back to the law, did you suffer all that in vain? And then he says, if it be yet in vain. In other words, if you guys get this and go on with the truth of what I'm telling you, it wasn't in vain that you suffered those things. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So even this perverted gospel preacher that comes over there, if he's doing anything miraculous in order to prove that he has the Spirit of God, Paul says he got that promise by faith, not by the works of the law he's preaching. You say, well, would there be somebody like that? Yeah, when Paul went back to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 20, what did he find down there? Many? What? Yeah, many of those disciples, they were saved, but they were zealous of the law. They had the Spirit of God, but they were zealous of the law. And Paul got down there and came in kind of with the liberty he had, and they could not stand it. They had him arrested, and eventually, you know what happened. He got sent up to Rome. Listen, when a man gets saved, but he becomes religious or goes back to that religious thing, I'm clean because I'm doing all this stuff, he forgets that the Spirit he has that saved him did not come by all those works he's doing. It came by faith in Jesus Christ. All right, so what Paul does then, he says, we're blessed by faith. We're blessed with faithful Abraham when we receive the promise of the Spirit. And he said, folks, you did not get that by the works of the law. You got that by faith in Jesus Christ. All right, secondly, by faith, we are blessed with imputed righteousness. Imputed, I used to think that means he put that in us, and he does, but it actually means he accounts that to you. Look in verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. All right. As Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, so we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and righteousness is imputed to us. Let's go back to Romans. You're going to find in your Bible reading and Bible study, Romans and Galatians are companion books. They are just very, very close together. All right, Romans chapter 3, look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. That is, whether you're Jew or Gentile, doesn't make any difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Romans chapter 4, look at verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. All right, take a brief pause here. If I go to work for you, and we have some agreement that you're going to pay me $10 an hour, and I work for you for 2 weeks, 40 hours a week, you owe me $800. Is that your grace to me, or did I earn that? I earned it. You are indebted to me because I have given you the labor. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him, verse 5, that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. So David described that in the Old Testament, that there would be an imputed righteousness and it would be given by faith. And what is your faith in? It's in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. His death, burial, and resurrection sealed it. And righteousness was given to you. Listen, if you and I on our best day did everything any religion ever said, all we have is our righteousness. And watch it, as you've seen me demonstrate before, our righteousness is not equal to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the judgment of God is based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So if you scale it out, here's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and here's the best I could possibly do by keeping whatever dictates of religion and so forth I might have, but I'm going to come up short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you put those two on a scale together, my righteousness is not sufficient to get me into heaven or to have righteousness accounted to me. So what does God do? I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and he accounts that as righteousness to me, so that my righteousness is now equal to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. All right, now notice something else. By faith we are blessed with the promise of the Spirit. By faith we are blessed with imputed righteousness. By faith we are blessed with the adoption as children of Abraham. Look in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, as it concerns the promise of the Spirit, the promise of imputed righteousness, and something else we're going to see in just a minute, the promise of justification, it doesn't make any difference whether you're a natural born descendant of Abraham or whether you're under the yoke of the bondage of the law. It doesn't make any difference. Because these promises, justification, imputed righteousness, the Spirit, these promises, are not like the physical promises that were given to Abraham. You know, one of the promises to Abraham that was given was this. Abraham, I'm going to give you and your seed all this land. Matter of fact, United Nations ought to go back and read that. Because the bloodiest wars that have ever been fought on this earth are going to be fought over that very decision right there. I'm going to give you this land right here, all right? You're not in on that promise. But there were other promises that were given to Abraham. The Spirit, righteousness, justification. He said, those, it doesn't make any difference whether you're a natural born Jew or not. Because those are given to the seed by faith. Not by birth or not by works. Look in Romans chapter 4 again. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 9. Cometh this blessedness, Romans 4, 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, those are Jews, or upon the uncircumcision also, that's Gentiles. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? What's the answer? When he was in circumcision or when he was in uncircumcision? When was Abraham circumcised? Genesis chapter 17. When was righteousness imputed to him? Genesis chapter 15. He was not circumcised when God reckoned righteousness to him. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision, Paul says. Verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. That's you and me. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Look at verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of whom? Us all. In the many nations. In thee shall all nations be blessed. You got in on the same kind of faith that Abraham had, but you became his child in that you did similarly what he did, and it wasn't by the works of the law, it was by believing in what God had provided in Jesus Christ. So remember this, we do not, as some covenant theology teaches, we do not replace Israel in their physical promises. You're not going to get the land. You don't need the land. You got New Jerusalem. What would you want with that land? That's theirs. What you get is you get the promise of the Spirit, imputed righteousness, and then you get something else. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. You get justification, the promise of justification. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify. See it? In Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, Look at Genesis 18:18. The Lord is getting ready to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy it. And they say, you know what? We might as well tell Abraham what we're getting ready to do. In Genesis 18:18, he says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, watch it, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. There's that promise. Now look in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Isaac has been born. He has taken Isaac up to Mount Moriah. He was getting ready to sacrifice him. God intervened, sacrificed a ram instead. And afterwards, the Lord said in verse 18, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. There's that blessing of Abraham. You see it? The scripture, according to verse 8 in Galatians chapter 3, foresaw. You read what you're looking at in Galatians 3:8. The scripture foreseeing. Do you understand? He didn't say God foreseeing. He said the scripture foreseeing. Please understand something about that Bible you have in your lap. It is alive. The Bible says it is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It knew what was going on. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham. Now, you know what the gospel didn't preach? What the gospel did preach? It preached justification justification of the heathen through faith. That's what it preached. In thee shall all nations be blessed. He preached the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. That's what he preached. The scripture back then did not preach the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Couldn't have. Because Jesus hadn't even been here yet. But you know what it did do, and I'm gonna have to talk you through some of this without looking at some of the references. You can check on the internet afterwards and get the notes. They'll be up there, because I see that other classes are pouring out and we're still seated. You know what he did do? He took Isaac up there. When he took Isaac up to that mountain, what did he say? He said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac. Who's Jesus Christ? An only begotten son. And he takes him up there, and he's going to kill him. And Abraham says, fine by me. God had promised through that boy that his seed would be as the stars of heaven. You know what Abraham knew? For God to fulfill that promise, one of two things would happen. He would have to have a substitution, which he did. He gave him a ram. Abraham said to Isaac, God shall provide himself a lamb. You know, John the Baptist told you who it was. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He provided himself a lamb. Or he knew this, if I kill him, God's going to have to raise him. And he knew that resurrection would be fairly soon, because he told those two servants that went up there on that mountain with him, I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship and return to you. That resurrection of Jesus Christ followed very shortly after his death. In other words, in Isaac, in his seed, he saw the death, burial, and resurrection. Isaac then becomes a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important for the remainder of the chapter when we begin studying again next week. He saw that. But we have to understand there are very distinct differences between Abraham's salvation and ours in this regard. In this regard. Abraham's righteousness was imputed to him in Genesis chapter 15. James chapter 2 verse 21 says he wasn't justified until Genesis 22, when he took Isaac up to the mountain and offered him. You get your justification and your righteousness the very moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Abraham was not baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. We are the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Abraham was physically circumcised. You and I, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, are spiritually circumcised, Colossians chapter 2. There's a difference, and the reason is he wasn't preached the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You were. And he wasn't, because Jesus Christ hadn't died. But he saw the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in his Son. In John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus Christ says about Abraham, he saw my day. He saw my day. And that's what the scripture did for him. Now, I'm sorry I had to kind of rush through all that without giving you all the scriptures, but I am a little bit on a time fuse here. Let me just show you one last thing to finish it up here that's interesting. Verse 9 says, the end of verse 8 says, in thee shall all nations be blessed, so then they which are be of faith are blessed, see the word, blessed with faithful Abraham. But look at verse 10, as many as are under the works of the law are cursed, under a curse. Do you see the contrast? If you want to go under the works of the law, that's a curse. You want to go by faith, that's a blessing. You see the contrast? He says, why would you put yourself back under a curse? Christ has already been made a curse for us. God made him to be sin for us who do no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And by that faith in Christ, we then receive the blessing of Abraham and the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, there are a lot of verses I had to skip in order to be able to get to this. It's a good thing I didn't try to do the whole chapter. I couldn't even do the first 14 verses. Do you think Paul did a pretty masterful job of convincing these Galatians it's not by the works of the law? Quit listening to that perverted gospel. You got everything you need by the faith of Jesus Christ. He really did. He really did. Well, let's pray and we'll take a break. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity today to see that by faith we receive the promise of the Spirit, righteousness, and justification as the children of Abraham. We ask you to help us to be faithful stewards of these words and to be faithful students of these words, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.